Good evening, everyone. Good evening, good evening. Yes, Roger let me know I'm started 15 minutes late, and Mitch already gave me a little bit of grief. I'm not following in his footsteps. He is a time monster, after all. Okay, let me go ahead and call this board meeting to order. And I wanted to let you know that, okay, I'm sorry. I was distracted by the cell phone. Before we call the roll, I would like to make the announcement to have everyone please turn off your cell phones. Or put them on vibrate. I won't repeat that. Our second vice president is being himself. He's so wonderful. That's right. All right, so if everyone could turn off their cell phones or put them on vibrate and...
Silent might be a better word.
Silent. So I'd like to go ahead and call this board meeting to order. Welcome everyone who's come to the board meeting tonight. We have some very exciting things to discuss at our board meeting. I will give it over to our secretary to call the roll.
Okay, and I've got a microphone on a stand this time, so I might do a little better than last time. We'll see. Okay, President Donna Pomerantz. First Vice President Gene Lozano.
Here.
Second Vice President Roger Peterson.
Here.
Secretary Gabe Griffith. Here. Treasurer Peter Pardini.
Here. Sorry.
That's okay. Immediate Past President Jeff Tom.
Here.
Lena Bandy.
Here.
Artis Bazin.
Here.
Vince Calderon.
Here.
David Hanlon. Is, I'm guessing, still absent. David Jackson?
Yes, I'm here.
Linda Perrell?
Here.
Eric Smiley?
Here.
Robert Wendt?
Present.
There's always got to be one. Yeah. Judy Wilkinson?
Here.
All right, Madam President, we managed not to lose anybody since we recessed.
Okay, yes. And don't take your trusty critter device away, because the next item on the agenda is report actions of executive session. As you all saw in the program, the board did enter into an executive session earlier today, and I will have our secretary read the action that came out of that executive session.
Okay, give me just one second. I'm just trying to...
He's fighting with his technology. Oh... Who let that guy in here anyway?
Okay. I'm just trying to find the right motion.
We have lots of motions, so we need to make sure that he reads the right ones.
Okay. I think the only, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the only motion was with the office lease.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have the motion number yet, but BDM Artis moved to authorize the president to enter a lease at... the 1303 J Street location with the terms discussed. Jeff seconded. The motion passed unanimously.
Okay. So just to let you know that we will be moving from one block in Sacramento to another block in Sacramento to have our office. So
across the street.
That was the motion that came out of executive session. Thank you. The next item on the agenda, and I will ask our secretary to please read the agenda so we can read and approve the meeting agenda starting at 7. It was supposed to start at 7 p.m., so...
Okay, 5:30 p.m., April...
What? 7.
Oh,
at 7.
You want me to start at 7? You want me to skip the first few items?
Yeah, I apologize. I messed up.
Okay, so skipping past the executive session items, beginning at 7 o'clock, April 12, 2012, meeting of the Board of Directors, California Council of the Blind... adjusting paper. Beginning with... Yeah, is this better, Roger?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. If I get too far away, just holler. Okay, beginning with item number 4, roll call. Item number 5, report actions of executive session. Item number 6, reading and review of the agenda. Dealing with Donna's favorite item, paper. Number 7, public comment. Number 8, approval of minutes, Gabe Griffith. January 25th, 2012. March 11, 2012. 9, ratify 2/15/2012 room subsidy vote by email. Number 10, treasurer's report, Peter Pardini. Number 1, balance sheet as of December 31st, 2011. Let's see, income statement, previous year. Comparison for 2011 and 2010. Budget report for the period January to December 31st, 2011. Balance sheet as of February 29, 2012. Income statement for the period January 1 to February 29, 2012. 2011 audit. Review and approval of 2012 CCB budget. Moving on to item number 11, report on Newell Perry Trust Fund. Number 12, report on Ellen Murphy Trust Fund. Number 13, draft record retention policy. Number 14, publications committee report, and that will include technical operations group. And Blind Californian, number 15, public comment. Number 16 is on the last page and is adjourned. That is the reading of the agenda.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as read?
Madam President.
Is that Gene?
Yeah, I was wondering if we could have somewhere there announcements added to the agenda.
Okay, we will have announcements, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, where would
added
you like to
insert to
just before
the before adjourn?
Do you want to put that, Madam President, maybe just before the second public comment?
Yes.
I'd say before the right after the first one. After the first one, because people leave.
No, we want to talk about. I got my list.
Peter has a list.
Peter has some announcements, and I also
just before the first, just maybe just before the first public
whatever
comment,
the will of the board is. Obviously, we have grumbles. Decide.
Before the first public comment.
Okay.
And then again at the.
No, one time. Which one?
Before.
All right. Okay. Take note of that, please, Mr. Secretary.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as read and amended?
So moved.
Motion.
Okay, second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries. All right. Our next item on the agenda is our first public comment.
Weren't we going to do announcements at this
point? No. Sorry. That's why I asked him.
You jumped before I could correct you.
My mischievous twin just jumped out and knew that Gabe would be slow to remind me, so. Okay. Announcements, please. And get the other one a mic, please, so that he can be ready as soon as you're done.
Okay, this is Peter. Basically, we still have meal tickets available. They will be sold up and through the meal. We have Kahlua, AMC lunches, the President's Dinner, Membership Breakfast, Guy Doug Uses of California, OCB, and banquet tickets available. So if you need to purchase your tickets, for lunch events, they're $30. For the dinner events, they're $40. The breakfast is $25. So please go to the CCB registration desk. In addition, please tell your friends to come purchase CCB meal tickets. We really need to make sure we're on the hook for them. We want to make sure we sell out all of our meals. So please encourage everyone to purchase CCB meal tickets. The second item is they moved the Guide Dog Relief Area. It's closest to the building, straight outside from the foyer. And the third item is, please visit our exhibit room in the Peninsula Rooms, which is just past the restaurant. We've got 30 tables of very happy exhibitors that want to see everybody in the exhibit room. The exhibit room will be open from Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. I would encourage people not to wait until the last minute on Saturday to go to the exhibit room, because a lot of times exhibitors have a tendency, if it's not busy, to leave the exhibit room. So please tell your friends to come see us in the exhibit room. Thank you.
Gene.
President. Yeah. Also, if you have any friends or members of your chapters or affiliates that are kind of riding the fence whether to stay at the hotel or not, encourage them. They'll help our count with guest room nights, and they'll also give them more opportunity to participate. Tomorrow from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., they're Caltrans will be having a demonstration of temporary construction site zone devices, barricades, possibly the speak out announcement sign. They're not endorsing any products. They just have asked some vendors to volunteer to bring their product to get feedback. Caltrans is put on a big demonstration last June 8th in Sacramento. It was a national evaluation of devices. Some of us participated in it. They're doing something. There's been some improvements. They'd like to see our input. They have a contingency that it will be, if it's be outside, just right at the back parking lot, not too far away from the guide dog relieving area. And if it should continue to rain, there is an area right nearby when you go out across the hall from here, the lobby, this area, whatever you call it. You go outside, there is a covered area. And we'll have, when we definitely know at 9:30 tomorrow morning, we'll have the volunteers alerted so they can help you there. But here's an opportunity to provide input on some of these things. And again, Caltrans is not endorsing any of these products. They just want feedback. And here's our way of seeing that some of our concerns and issues are addressed there. Talking about getting feedback, I have been given some sample signs from Sharon Toji with a new tactile font style that's being considered, and it could be considered for inclusion into federal and model codes. I will be carrying them with me, so stop me, and I will show it to you. But the good chance tomorrow afternoon when the Committee on Access and Transportation meets, I will be showing to people these they have different kind of profiles, and they have like a European flavor to the characters. So you can take a look at those. And the last announcement, those of you who are amateur radio operators or know somebody who's here at the convention, is not present in the room now, strongly encourage you tomorrow evening to be at, well, of course, the whole convention, but the general session. We're going to have a presentation on new things about the moon, and there will be some talk about how persons who are amateur operators, radio operators, can participate in helping NASA in monitoring what's happening on the moon. So encourage that, and here's a way CCB can participate. They've reached out to other groups of the blind, and they're jumping on board, too. So thank you.
Okay. And Robert Wendt has informed me that he has some of those signs as well. So you could either see Gene or Robert if you're interested in taking a look at the signs.
And we even have one that is an exit sign that glows in the dark green. And it would be interesting to get the feedback from those with low vision.
Yeah.
As an
so find Gene, find Robert. And again, on the room nights and such, if we're not encouraging people to, get into fights, but if couples do have disagreements, remember, anything for the cause. Get your own room. That will help us with room nights. I'm not. You might need space, for one or two or, Yes, yes, exactly.
Go around starting fights.
Okay. Now board members are going to start to discourse in between couples. Okay. The next item on the agenda is public comment. Does anyone have any public comment that they would like to give at this time? Ed is ready with a microphone, so... Public comment. Going once. All right. Uh-oh.
Well, Madam President.
Just one moment. Gene?
Yeah, I've heard some people saying I'd like to get confirmation.
I'm Terry Stoker from...
Oh, excuse me. Okay, Gene, hold on. Is this in regards to public comment or... Gene?
I'd like to get some feedback on the restaurant service.
Okay.
I'm hearing some things, and I'd like confirmation before we talk to the hotel staff about it.
Okay. Let me go ahead. Terry Stoker?
Yes, Terry Stoker from Menlo Park, and I'm about a 10-year volunteer with the San Mateo Chapter of the Blind. And I think we're participating in your hospitality room as a cocktail waitresses or something. But anyway, we'll be participating during the conference in that capacity. The reason I wanted to comment is that about 3 weeks ago, a man named Jim Bigelow came and gave a very interesting program for our chapter about the eyeglass program that the Lions Club's sponsor. He's very active in that program and was very informed. But at the end of a good half-hour presentation, he says, "Now I would like to tell you something about high-speed rail." And I'm not sure whether somebody had told him they wanted him. But anyway, he's very active in that program. And he had told me there was going to be a big, important meeting about a lot of the new developments that are taking place under the High-Speed Rail Authority in Sacramento a week ago. And I asked our president and two other officers to ride over with me to Sacramento for a 10 o'clock meeting. Fortunately, the day before that, I called to check on parking, and they said, oh, it's postponed till this Thursday at Sacramento at 10 a.m., so that made it a lot easier. But anyway, you probably have been reading about it or hearing about it, but there's a lot of important developments that are taking place and under the new blend system, and a great deal. They had 2 hours of public input before they got down to their other agenda this morning between 10 and 12. Must have been 35 or 40 people talked 1 to 3 minutes, and they were practically all positive, and especially the young people were very enthusiastic about high-speed rail, and so it looks like important decisions are just made. There were 2 votes on issues, and they were unanimous of the 6 authority people there. But so I thought maybe you'd appreciate knowing that this is a very important issue. One of the comments was that we're 30 years behind the rest of the world. Japan has had it for 30 years, Europeans even longer, and we're just now getting on board and trying to catch up.
Okay.
So that's...
Thank
That's
you very
like
much.
No, but it came because right. I attended a meeting where they were talking to our blind group about another subject.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Do we have any other public comment?
Yes, down here.
This is about the restaurant.
You need to give your name.
Beryl Brown, Redwood Empire. Service is just as slow as it was 2 years ago, and the prices are a little bit much, and there aren't enough lower-priced items for people to enjoy a good meal.
Not enough waiters or waitresses.
Okay. Thank you.
We have one more in the back.
Okay.
Lisa Cushman, about the restaurant. We found the service very slow. We were able to find low price options by having appetizers instead of main courses. But though the restaurant staff was extremely nice, they were quite slow.
Okay. Thank you.
I see no other hands, but I have a comment. I went to the bar to get a pastrami panini sandwich. It took me 15 minutes rather than 30 to 40 minutes sitting at a table, which I heard some people were doing.
So you're wanting to encourage our people to go to the bar.
Well, in so many words, for food. For food.
For food.
I have one more comment.
Okay. Any other public comment?
Yeah,
one more.
Jane Cardis, Redwood Empire Chapter. I suggested to them when I ordered a Cobb salad that they might put it in a bowl instead of a flat dish, because it was all over the place. And the fellow was very nice. He said he hadn't really thought about it, and he could understand that, us being sight-impaired folks. So anyway, he said that he was going to talk to somebody about it, and he thought they might adjust that. But I did find the prices to be a little high for a Cobb salad. I think it was $16 and something. Yeah, I thought it was a little high.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And everybody seems to be very nice, but it does seem a bit slow. Yeah, they're very kind. Any other public comment?
I have one more.
Abby Schumann, we've had this problem at any hotel you go to. We have slow service. It's not just this hotel. It's every hotel we've ever been in. So I don't know what we can do about it. We've tried to train them, but it's still the same thing.
Okay. Any other public comment?
I have one more.
Okay.
My name is Kat Abbey. I'm from the Redwood Chamber.
If you can get closer to the
Kat
mic.
Kat Abbey from the Redwood Empire Chapter in Santa Rosa. I think that, and I've experienced this with other places, but not just here at the hotel, that the waiters and everybody that serves the public in any way needs sensitivity training, training on how to serve us who are vision impaired or blind, announcing where they are placing things on the table when they come up and put things on the table, just as a that sensitivity training. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
No more hands.
No more. Okay. Thank you very much. And Gabe has taken note of all the public comment. Again, if there are more issues or anything with the restaurant, let Jean know. And we'll move on to our next item. Approval of the minutes. Our secretary, Gabe Griffith.
Madam President.
Artis.
I'd like to make a motion that all of the motions be accepted as sent.
All the motions what?
Didn't I say minutes? Motions. I'm sorry. Minutes. All the minutes be accepted as sent.
Madam President, before we get a second on that, can I offer one amendment to Artis's
motion? Go ahead,
motion?
Gabe.
There has been one change since the minutes were sent out to the email list. It has to do with an item that was in the executive session on January 25th. Madam President, would you like me to read that amended motion?
Certainly.
So everybody has it.
And that is in the January 25th, 2012.
January 25th. It is BDM 2012-2, and it has been amended to read, Gene moved that CCB sign on as an organizational plaintiff in order to enter negotiations and slash or litigation with Kaiser in regards to the issues outlined by the DRA attorney at this meeting. Jeff seconded, and the motion passed unanimously.
Okay, so Artis made a motion to approve the January 25th, 2012, and March 11, 2012 minutes as sent. Do we have a second?
Second.
As sent and amended?
And sent and amended. Apologies. And Lena seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is we need to ratify a vote that took place via email on February 15, 2012. And basically, the board voted, the board voted for a room subsidy to be given at this convention. The board voted for CCB to pay $12 and 88 cents per room. I was going to say 89 per room night. And the board voted in favor of that subsidy. And so if I might go ahead and call for the vote in person.
I'll move to ratify the email vote.
Second, Jean.
And second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Okay. I'm going to give the microphone over to our treasurer, Peter Pardini, for the treasurer's report. And he has several items under this report. I just have to say that we have a wonderful treasurer who gives a good amount of detail. It's disappointing to me that more people don't contact the office to find out and get these figures. These figures are available to each and every one of you. And, you know, I think knowledge is power. And Peter gives a lot of detail here. So I want to thank you, Peter, for all the work you've been doing to prepare these reports for us. And I will give it over to you.
Thank you, Donna. I'd really like to thank our admin assistant, Ed Branch, for all the work that he does in helping you prepare these reports. I really do appreciate it. And I'd like to thank Donna for all her support and all the members of the board for their support. Moving on, the first item is the balance sheet as of December 31st, 2011. At this point, should I just give a summary? And then if we have more specific information regarding the balance sheet, I can give a more detailed report when we talk about the February 29th balance sheet. So, balance sheet as of December 31st, 2011. Total checking and savings, $164,463. Accounts receivable, $2,653. Total loans receivable, $5,709. Total accounts receivable, $8,363. Total other current assets, $880,047. Total current assets, $1,052,874. Total fixed assets, $5,119. Total assets, $1,057,984. Liabilities and equity. Current liabilities, accounts payable. Total accounts payable, $7,648. Other current liabilities, $1,697. Total current liabilities, $9,345. Equity board designated funds, $47,737. Temporary restricted funds, $455,525. Permanently restricted, $128,000. Net income last year was a loss of $141,033. Total equities, total liabilities and equity, $1,057,984. Item two is the statement of income and expenses. The previous year comparison. Basically, what is the board's prerogative? Should I read each income item? Or just give the totals?
Peter, we have the, this is Judy, we have the report, so why don't you just give what you think is...
The reason that Peter is asking the question is we realized that we did not give the board a week's time in advance, and so he's doing that out of a courtesy. So whatever the board would wish.
Madam President? I have a suggestion,
yes,
which might be a compromise, I hope. If Peter gives the totals and then has that document ready when we go through the budget, people can ask about certain income comparisons on certain budget items, income or revenue, if they feel that they need more information. How about that?
Peter, will that work for
you?
Yes,
that'll work for me.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead.
So at this point, I'll just read the total income for January 1st to December 31st, 2011. We took in $146,762 in 2010 for the same period. We took in $219,981, which is a difference of $73,138. Total expenses for the period January 1st, 2011 to December 31st, 2011, $269,027. In 2010, we took in $341,821, a difference of $72,793. Total other income for the period ending in 2011 was a negative $18,769. In 2010, other income amounted to $100,424. Again, so the net income for the period was, for 2011, a negative $141,033. In 2010, it was a negative $21,495. That's a difference of $119,537. And at this point, I think we can use the budget report when we go through the budget. If you guys have any questions, I won't read that at this time.
Any questions from the board? Okay, Peter, continue.
The balance sheet of February 29th, 2012. The total in checking and savings was $164,682. The total accounts receivable was $6,709. Total other current assets, $917,607. Total current assets, $1,089,000. Total fixed assets, $5,119. Our total assets are $1,094,111. $ Liabilities, current liabilities, total accounts payable, $7,244. Payroll taxes, $1,756. Total current liabilities, $9,000. Equity, unrestricted, $584,954. Total unrestricted, board designated, $41,737. Total temporary restricted, $455,525. Permanently restricted funds, $128,000. Net income for the period. This is for the period of January 1st through February 29th. Is positive $36,470. Total liabilities and equity, $1,094,111. Statement of income and expenses for the period January 1st to February 29th, 2012. Income, REW and Associates, $7,500. Affiliated chapter dues, $2,250. Total contributions, $568. Miscellaneous, $177. Total fundraisers, $200. Total income, $10,696. Expenses, staff support, $7,330. Medical insurance, $1,898. Miscellaneous expenses, $119. Total payroll taxes, $994. Accounting services, $900. Total travel and transportation, $774. Telephone, $843. Rent, $4,840. Total printing BC, $1,576. Office supplies, $246. Postage, $253. Equipment rental, $243. Service contracts, $136. Sales tax expense, $86. Scholarships, negative $500. Total grants to individuals. This includes money that we give to Ellen Murphy. People that are on the receive help from the Ellen Murphy Fund, $3,451. Convention expense, $7,036. Total fundraising expenses and reimbursements, $331. Total expenses, $23,661. Net ordinary income, negative $12,964. Other income, let's read the total for that. $49,335. Total income, including for both regular and other income, is a positive $36,470. Basically, we did very well with our investments during the first 2 months of this fiscal year, and also due to the stock market, we did very well in March too. I don't have the final figures on that one, but that's a good thing. And at this point, we could go through the proposed budget.
Okay, are you asking to...
We need to approve these treasurer's report.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And my other question was, are you asking to go out of order because you have the audit?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, we really should talk about the audit report, too.
Okay, so how do you wish to...
Why don't we go ahead and approve... If I can have a motion to approve the financial reports as read.
So moved.
Second.
Robert and Vince? Yeah. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Aye. Okay, Judy abstains? Motion carries. Thank you. Continue, Peter.
And basically, we received an engagement letter for the 2011 audit, which we hope to complete, get started. They're going to do their field work in May, which I really want to have it done earlier this year, because that way we provide additional time for accountants to prepare our 990s, and the state income tax forms, but I can't think of the number. And basically, the cost of the audit this year will be $9,250. This is only an increase of $250 over last year. And our auditing firm has been very good, and they really enjoy working with us. So at this point, I'd like to have a motion to authorize to sign the engagement letter.
We have a motion. Judy moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Continue.
Thank you very much, Donna. Moving on to the proposed budget, in 2012, we propose for REW and Associates, which is one of our fundraisers, $23,500, because in 2011, we had income from them in the amount of $23,249. For TechLink Sanderson Group, we propose an income figure of $13,000. In 2011, we had income in the amount of $11,305. Vehicle donation processing center, our proposed budget is $35,000. Last year, we had income in the amount of $34,667. And for affiliated chapter dues, we proposed a budget in the amount of $5,000. Last year, we collected $5,015. Members at large dues, we proposed a budget of $300. Last year, we collected $300. Life member dues, we have a proposed budget of $400. Last year, we collected $200. And we have one life member who signed up this year that I'm aware of. So we're halfway there. Because life membership dues are $200. Which can be paid over four installment payments of $50 each. Conventions, we have a proposed income of $28,000. Last year we collected $28,637. This year, we hope to take, for contributions, we have a proposed budget of $9,000. And last year, we collected $8,863. For Ellen Murphy Fund, we have a proposed budget of $5,000. Last year, we got a contribution to the Ellen Murphy Fund in the amount of $5,000. Proposed budget for the scholarship fund this year would funds received for the scholarships is $4,000. Last year. We collected $3,231. Neil Perry Fund, we hope to get income from them in the amount of $1,000. Last year, the Neil Perry Fund gave us $25,000 to pay our director of advocacy and governmental affairs salary. So we still have fund in that account to cover Jeff's voluntary expenses. The proposed budget for grants is $500. We collected $480 in grants last year. The proposed budget for miscellaneous income is $2,000. And last year we collected $1,962. This year we have a budget for the monthly monetary support program, whereby people can designate up to 50% of their contribution to CCB to go to the state organization. We have $5,000 budget for 2012. Last year we collected $4,587. This year we have a budget of $3,000 for the spring sweepstakes. And last year we collected $5,868. This year we have a budget of $1,000 for the fall sweepstakes. Last year we collected $3,664. This year we have a budget of $47,150 for the mutt strut. Last year we collected $14,741. We have to do a lot better this year. Legal settlements, we hope to get $7,500 in legal settlements. That's what we're budgeting. Last year we didn't collect anything. Legal settlements, education, $2,000. We didn't collect anything last year on that either. But we have interest, savings, and CDs, $13,000. Last year we collected $11,846. CEA loan repayment from borrowers. We hope that we'll collect $2,250 because our borrowers have been very prompt in payment. They pay on the when they're supposed to pay. Last year we collected $1,028. And basically, this year to balance our budget, we need to do a funds transfer from our assets in the amount of $47,545. So our total budgeted income for 2012 is $265,145. Do I have any questions regarding the income portion of the proposed budget?
Madam President? Questions from the board? Is that Artis?
Yes.
Artis.
I was wondering how come the proposed income for both of the spring and the fall sweepstakes were lower than what last year?
Because we're really trying to push the mutt strut, and our membership is, you know, can only do so much.
Basically, the fundraising committee made a motion or voted to have spring sweepstakes and then not do one for the fall, so as not to, be trying to double dip and, you know, put a lot on the membership since Mutt Strut happens in the fall. I believe that was part of the reason as well. Peter?
Yeah, you're correct. Well, we thought we may do something small.
What the fundraising committee voted, gee, I'm glad I was on those calls. What the fundraising committee voted to do was, if the membership wanted to do a 50-50 or something like that in the fall, but they wouldn't do another large sweepstakes like they're doing in the spring.
But the spring also was showed less than last year's. So.
Yeah. We just feel that people are...
Basically, we're hearing a bit from members that it just is so difficult to sell, and we're hearing all different kinds of things from a number of members. And, you know, they're basically saying that it's just too difficult to try to sell. At least that's what a number of the fundraising committee members have been hearing, and I've been hearing, and other members have been hearing. So can Judy get a mic? Ed's coming. Thank you, Ed.
If I stand up, my dog runs away.
She says, oh, boy, outside. Go ahead, Judy.
And you must excuse me. Since I'm new at this, I may have more questions, and if they're out of line, you should just let me know. And, in fact, my earlier comment, Donna, was not meant in any way as criticism, but to ask for guidance as to what information Peter thought best for us to have. I wasn't, you know, saying...
Oh, I understand. Yeah. What I wanted to do was explain, you know, in the interest of full disclosure, so that the members present in the audience would also know. So, no, it was not taken as criticism at all whatsoever.
What I'm wondering now, I think I understand the logic for almost every one of the items and why there's a little bit of an increase most places, but I, too, like artists, do we have do we have a preliminary number even at the moment whether this $3,000 for the spring sweepstakes is realistic?
We don't have a preliminary number at this point because Ed is still getting tickets from folks. All tickets haven't been turned in. Tickets are still being sold and such. So we don't have a preliminary number at this time unless Peter knows something that I don't. But
no, I don't.
Okay, good.
And I was going to sort of make the same comment or question about the given... you know, what we've sold and how we're seeing this spring convention. I'm wondering if we should adjust this number, this $28,000, a little bit.
No, I think realistic we'll probably make the $28,000. We may have to adjust our expense number.
But I think the revenue is pretty...
Okay. Maybe that's what I was getting.
Right, right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Oh, Madam Chairman, I had one more question.
Okay, Judy, and then
the vehicle donation bill can't help us this year. Am I correct?
Yeah, because it hasn't been passed. Yeah.
Oh, well, that would be a good reason.
Yeah, it hasn't. Yeah. There are a lot of co-sponsors, but it still has not gone through. Any other questions? Vince, I think, right?
On this funds transfer, is this you're proposing to take money out and put it in an account to pay bills throughout the year? Yep. And this is going to be a source of income.
Yes.
Well, we wanted to have it was the recommendation of the Budget and Finance Committee to have a balanced budget this year. And the only way to do that,
it's like the country does it,
without drastically, I don't know how we could cut anything, is to do a funds transfer. Because we do have roughly, and we can't do this repeatedly, We have roughly over $500,000 of unreserved funds that we can use.
Madam President?
Jeff.
Just for, and it's something that I really wish we had done a lot of the time when I was president, too, and we just didn't. But for Vince's edification, it's really just intended to be, whether you think it's right is one other thing, but what it's intended to be is a reflection of what we will have to transfer out of reserves to cover the expense side of the budget. And so it's better to, we were thinking it would be better to put it there rather than to have an unbalanced number.
Well, what I would say, because you're being nice, what I would say is that we have done several balance transfers this year, and it was not reflected in the budget last year. And so in the interest of being completely open and transparent, we have put it in the budget this year. That is basically what we believe we would have to transfer in the coming year, which would allow us to meet our budget or have a balanced budget. So that's basically it. We've made several transfers this year, and we've let the board know when we've had to do it, and they haven't been small transfers. They've been quite large, so we are putting it out in the open in the budget for everyone to see what we think is probably going to happen this year. Okay. Any other... Vince, does that answer your question?
Yes, it answers the question. It just points out the fact that you can only cut so much expense. What you need to look at is, I know this is a bigger picture, but you need to look at getting more revenue so you don't have to transfer funds and put it in the budget, because like it was stated, there's not a bottomless pit. At some point, if you keep bleeding as we are, you're going to run out of unreserved funds. And when you run out of unreserved funds, you cannot look at it and put something in there to make a balanced budget when realistically you can't. But yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, we need everybody to get behind CCB fundraising activities. I mean, that's the basic bottom line.
Well, and again, you know, we don't know what else we can cut unless we have the backing of the membership. So, Peter, do you want to continue, or did someone else have a question?
Are there any more questions regarding income? Moving on to
go ahead,
expenses.
Pete.
We have a staff support budget expense of $46,000 for this fiscal year. Last year we expended $69,513. For part of the year we had our governmental affairs person and a second part-time admin assistant. This year we don't. Medical expenses, we're budgeting $14,500. Last year we spent $20,171.72. Miscellaneous expense $1,400. Last year we spent $1,476. Payroll tax expense this year, we're budgeting $6,000. Last year we spent $6,731. $ This year we're budgeting $8,300 for accounting services. Last year we spent $8,085. This year we're budgeting $9,250 for audit expense. Last year we spent $9,000 for travel and transportation. We're budgeting $4,750. Last year we spent $3,520. Oh, excuse me. Last year we spent $4,434. For this year, for telephone, we have a proposed budget in the amount of $5,600. Last year we spent $5,479. For vehicle insurance, we're projecting a budget in the amount of $2,200. Last year we spent $2,119. Public relations, but $100 budget. Last year we spent $80. Membership development, we're projecting a budget of $1,000. Last year we spent $1,612. Rent, we're projecting to expend $28,000. Last year we spent $28,739. Office insurance, we're projecting to spend $1,500. Last year we spent $1,333. Workers' comp insurance, we're expecting $600 to spend. Last year we spent $923. Bond insurance, we're projecting $107 budget. Last year we spent $170. Board of Directors liability insurance, we're projecting $3,500. Last year we spent $2,967. Printing, we're projecting $1,500. Last year we spent $2,454. Printing BC, we're projecting $9,500. Last year we spent $9,146. License fees and property taxes, $200. Last year we spent $188. Office supplies, we're projecting $2,000. Last year we spent $1,290. For postage, $1,000. Last year we spent $748. Equipment rental, we're projecting $1,750. Last year we spent $1,747. Service contracts, $2,300. Last year we spent $2,343. Office equipment expense, we're projecting to spend $1,000. Last year we didn't spend anything. For repairs and maintenance, we're expecting $300. Last year we spent $1,565. Web development, webmaster, $3,000. Last year we spent $455. Board of directors, expenses. Last year we spent $4,463. The projected budget this year is $4,500. For committee expenses, we're projecting $1,500. Last year we spent $1,196. Dues to organizations, we're projecting $3,125. Last year we spent $3,125. Conferences and seminars, $3,000. Last year we spent $1,671. Sales tax expense, we're projecting $200. Last year we spent $208. Scholarships, $15,000. Last year we spent $8,750. Grants to individuals, $10,000. That's the Ellen Murphy Fund. Last year we spent $10,562. Crisis Committee grants to individuals, $2,000. Last year we spent $2,001. Convention expenses, $45,000. Last year we spent $39,448. Spring fundraising expenses, $300. Last year we spent $1,000. Fundraising Mudstrud expenses, $20,100. Last year we spent $11,377. CEA loan repayment, $5,000. Last year we paid back our CEA loan in the amount of $5,000. Total expenses, $265,145. At this point in time, there was a couple items that we failed to include in the budget. They are on the income side, the moving allowance from our landlord, from our new landlord, and that would be in the amount of $3,600. We'll also have an offsetting moving expense, and all things willing, it probably should balance out to $3,600. The other expense that we need to budget for is the strategic plan.
I mean, it's Gigi Klein, it's Vince. And I'm not sure how Doug wants to proceed.
The board asked me to contact three entities that do strategic planning. And the reason that they asked for that is so that we could get a view of our picture from an outsider, from more of a global view, so that we could project into the next 5 years. I have identified two entities. I do not have a third. And so it was stated that we should go ahead and do this year, at least the beginning stages, because the fact that I only have two and not a third, I'm not prepared to give you final numbers for the budget. However, I am thinking, based on the preliminary investigation, because of the size organization we are and just having a ballpark figure of how this has been done for others, I think that it would probably cost us around $10,000 to do a strategic plan. It might be less, you know, because we are smaller. And so, Jeff, I know you've had experience as well, and Jean, and let me know if you feel I'm a little low in my guesstimation. Again, I don't have exact figures at this time because I don't have a third entity. Okay. Gene said he believes 10 to 12,000 for an organization our size, and you know, and he says that would be very conservative. But yes, okay, Jeff.
I would then move to and this would be a two-part motion, but we'd have to do both. I would move to add $10,000 for strategic planning on the expense side, and that would necessitate, though, an increase in the transfer by $10,000 on the income side. That would be the motion.
Okay. Do we have a second? That's Gene. Do we have any discussion? Is that Judy? Let's get Judy a mic. Yeah. Oh, she doesn't have. Ooh.
Ed, I'm getting a weird feedback from that mic. If you want to give it this wireless.
Yeah, grab. Okay, Ed's going to get the wireless. Ooh, Roger. Roger's really buzzing here next to me.
It's all that coffee.
Roger said it's all that coffee he drank.
Well,
Judy.
Not to put any much hope into this, though, but one of the diggings that I've done for the Mutt Strut may have revealed a couple of foundations who fund strategic planning for nonprofits. So we may be able to go after some grant money for that. Although it looks like it's ridiculous to spend more money when we don't have it, but I think this is money that might get us money. we need professional advice, and I think this would be a good way to start to get it. I have some questions when the moment comes about other items in the budget, but that's my comment on Jeff's motion.
Okay. Any other discussion on Jeff's motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Now, there were some more questions. Oh, just a moment. Well, did we have any questions related to the budget, or shall we wait to the discussion aspect if we seek a motion?
Well, we did have questions for expenses, I mean, for income, and I thought, would before we do a motion, would we have a questions about expenses, or do you want to wait? I mean, Madam Chairman, I just don't know when to ask the questions.
Okay, Peter, you are the treasurer.
We can do it now. That's fine.
Okay.
Are there any expense questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Robert, yeah. I heard Robert, I heard Linda, and I heard Judy. And Artis. So first, Robert.
Okay, Peter, my question is this amount reflective of the new lease rate that we might be paying?
No, it wasn't. Might be a little less. Let me.
At the time, we've just received these rates are kind of hot off the presses. Yeah. Maybe it's $500 less. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay. Between $500 and $1,000 less.
Linda?
Yeah, my question is, I noticed a difference, a lowering of the amount budgeted for membership development. I was curious about the rationale for lowering that.
My question was kind of in regards to that. Wait a second. Wait.
Okay. Before he answers it, I thought I'd, question.
Yeah, but you weren't on a mic, so yeah. Now you're on a mic.
I didn't realize there was anything spent on membership development to begin with.
membership development, as it was discussed in the Finance and Budget Committee, was printed tools that we use, such as courtesy guidelines, our brochures, failing sight and the family plight. Those have been, prior to my administration, those had been tools used for membership development and things that were categorized Mr. Treasurer, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the discussion that we had in the committee meeting. Those printed media, were tools that were used for membership development.
You're correct.
And we just did a large printing of some of those in the prior year. So that's why it was decreased.
Madam President?
Jeff?
Just another thing, too, and we used to be able to fund membership development a lot more. Membership development could also include a trip the president would take to a chapter to do, a meeting with that chapter. And, of course, we certainly wish we could do that now because we could really use it. But
yeah. What we've done, and it's not that we haven't been visiting chapters when they've made the request. We have. But, for instance, I've visited a number of chapters within my area or that I could get to via train and such, so there wasn't, a charge. And Jeff has visited chapters in his area, that he could get to. David has also visited chapters in his area. So it's not that, you know, we're neglecting the chapters and we're not visiting. It's just that, unfortunately, the president isn't able to, you know, kind of go all over the state herself, as was able to happen in the past, to visit these chapters. I really would love to do that. You know, I'd love to visit the chapters that I haven't visited directly, but other board members have stepped up to the plate and done so. So, was there another?
Madam President?
Judy.
I had several, and again, these are mostly sort of ignorance.
Questions are very welcome, so don't apologize.
Conferences and seminars, is it like when we send someone to the legislative seminar in D.C.? Is that the kind of thing that's conferences and seminars?
Go ahead, Peter.
ACB convention, when we send
two delegates.
The delegates to the ACB convention.
And what about dues to organizations?
That's ACB membership dues.
Is that mostly what that is, ACB membership?
Yeah, it's membership dues to ACB.
Dues. And you have board of directors. I know that you have the insurance elsewhere. I know there are...
Basically, the board of directors are the reimbursements for travel and the per diem expenses.
So, for instance, the two times that we have convention, you know, there is, you know, assistance for travel and the stipend that you get that goes toward per diem. So that's what that is.
Which I didn't know about. But web development, is that for our server and so forth?
Web development is for the purchase of the backup server space,
right?
And things like that.
And Donna?
Go ahead, Peter.
Basically, you talked about due to the inability of the TOG to, due to situations beyond their control.
Okay. Basically, that's right. I forgot about that. What the Finance and Budget Committee wanted to do is the TOG has identified that its biggest hurdle is, because again, all of the members on the technical operations group are volunteers. They all have full-time jobs. And one of the things that's been holding them back is moving to the content management system, which is Drupal. We have moved over to the server so we can build it, but none of them have the time to be able to build it. So we are going to attempt to see if we can go outside to pay someone so that we could start populating the website and bringing it up to date and giving it its look and feel that we've been wanting to do for quite some time. And that just can't be done by a wonderful group of dedicated volunteers who have full-time jobs.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So, yes, Peter, go ahead.
Well, can we entertain a motion to... to pass the budget as amended?
So moved. Second.
Okay, Robert and Vince Senkaden, do we have any more discussion? Oh. Okay, Gene needed to leave, but we'd still have a quorum. Any more discussion?
Yes.
Linda, let's get her a mic.
I am.
This question is a blast from the past. Are we accepting or approving?
Oh. How about adopting or...
She's out of order.
You know, who let her in here?
I think adopting is the most
appropriate. We'll go ahead and adopt it.
Adopt it, okay.
As, adopt the budget as amended.
Now, Linda, don't remind me of that day. Okay. So we'll adopt the budget as amended. We had a motion and a second. Do we have any more discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Great. Yay. Okay. Jeff, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Were you over there talking to artists again?
She was talking to him.
No, he was talking to Linda this time.
Oh, I see. He's the baloney in between the artist and Linda sandwich. Is that what it is? You know I'm teasing. Okay. Jeff, I would like for you to please read the report on Newell Perry Trust Fund, Newell with one L. Thank you very much. Yes, Mitch is clapping. Okay. That's for Kathy. Okay. I should have warned you. I'm sorry.
I've got it right here.
Judy, do you have it?
I do.
Judy, will you please read that for us?
Newell Perry Trust Fund, report of April 6, 2012. As of April 6, 2012, the balance in the Newell Perry account the account 17636 is $182,589.28. I'm reading this one-handed. The name of the lady who assists us with our account, with the amount, 182. Was there something wrong with that number?
No.
Oh, the name of the lady who assists us with our account is Donna Andrews. At the end of 2011, our balance was 170,682.00. We are up 8.5% so far this year in our account in spite of fluctuating markets. We believe that we are doing pretty well with this account with our balance because, as you remember, we withdrew $25,000 last year. We would have been over $200,000, which we were hoping to reach. The trustees on this account are Patricia Wolf, Richard Weda, and Catherine Skivers. If you have any questions, you can contact any of us. Sincerely, Catherine Skivers, Trustee, Newell Perry Trust Fund.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
So move.
So move.
What are we doing?
Adopting? Accept.
Accepting. We have a motion to accept the Newell Perry Trust Report. Do we have a second? All right. Roger and Lena and others. Okay, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Judy. Very well done. Jeff.
Okay, I have this one.
Report on the Ellen Murphy Trust Fund.
I couldn't find it. Ellen Murphy Fund report, as of April 9th, 2012. The balance as of April 9th, 2012, in the Ellen Murphy account, 05109. Is $244,948.76. The cash in this account is $2,658.37. So far in 2012, we made only one withdrawal on February 16th in the amount of $3,072. As you know, our work is kept confidential. This case brought some information that I think we all need to be aware exists. The trustees voted to assist this applicant for a second time. Unless serious circumstances are apparent, we try to limit assistance to individuals to individual one time. This particular person has an eye condition which requires that their blood be mixed with medication and mailed back to them as eye drops, which must be used several times per day. when we received a request from a center for the aged and a social worker from the recipient's county, we immediately recognized this as the same person we had helped the year before. Both of these agencies called us because they were troubled, and when no assistance could be found through their agency or any other, they contacted. We sent an application to this person and his... Oh, sorry, it's have. I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
And have. Well, I knew that, but that's why I was pausing there. And have assisted them for a second year. We are well aware that we are unable to do this indefinitely, but believe that the situation needs to be brought to the attention of the Lions International and legislators. The pharmacy had arranged to keep the money in the account for this recipient last year and will do so the same this year. They also have worked with us to let this medication be made available for half the cost per year, which is $3,072. They did this because they recognized the need for the medication for this person to keep their vision and the knowledge that money wasn't available to them. We have no applications pending as of this date. Thanks to the very generous contribution of a member who wishes to remain anonymous, we were able to complete our obligations without having to liquidate any of our stock. We are very pleased with the representatives from UBS, our brokers. They are father and son, Michael and James Giordano. If you have any questions, please contact one of the three trustees, Patricia Wolf, Abigail Vincent, or Catherine Skivers. Sincerely, Catherine Skivers, trustee, Ellen Murphy Fund. And that is it.
Do we have a motion to accept?
So moved.
Artis. Do we have a second? Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Miss Judy, might I ask you to read item number 13, the draft record retention policy.
Okay. Now, as I say, I'm doing this one-handed. I'm not bragging. I'm just apologizing ahead of time. Draft record retention of document destruction policy. The California Council of the Blind shall retain records for the period of their immediate or current use unless longer retention is necessary for historical reference or to comply with contractual or legal requirements. Records or documents outlined in this policy includes paper, electronic files, including email, and voicemail records, regardless of where the document is stored, including network servers, desktop or laptop computers, and handheld computers and other wireless devices with text messaging capabilities. In italics, in accordance with 18 U.S.C. Section 1519, and the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, the California Council of the Blind shall not knowingly destroy a document with the intent to obstruct or influence an investigation or proper administration of any matter within the jurisdiction of any department, agency of the United States, or in relation to or in contemplation of such matter or case. I'm sorry, that was in quotes. If an official investigation is underway or even suspected, document purging must stop immediately in order to avoid criminal obstruction. In order to eliminate accidental or innocent destruction, the California Council of the Blind has the following document retention policy, colon, type of document, accounts receivables and payables, ledgers and schedules, 6 years.
Seven years.
Annual audited financial statements, audit reports, general ledgers, internal audit reports, and trial balance journals, permanently. Articles of incorporation, charters, constitution and bylaws, minutes, resolutions, local chapters, and statewide affiliates' constitutions and bylaws and charters and other incorporation records permanently. Bank reconciliation, 3 years. Bank statements, deposit records, electronic fund transfer documents, and canceled checks, 3 years. Chart of accounts, permanently. Contracts, mortgages, notes, and leases, still in effect, permanently. Contracts, mortgages, notes, and leases expired 4 years after expiration date. Correspondence general, 3 years. Correspondence legal and important matters, permanently. Correspondence to customers and correspondence, parenthesis, customers and vendors, 4 years from expiration of contract. Depreciation schedules, 7 years after depreciation of the asset. Employment applications for persons not hired, 1 year from date of action. Employment applications for person hired permanently. Garnishments, 7 years. Insurance policies, records, accident reports, claims expired, 4 years. Insurance policies, records, current accident reports, claims still in effect, permanently. Inventory records, 7 years. Invoices from customers and vendors, 7 years from invoice date. Loan documents and notes, permanently. Personnel files, employee demographic. Demographic information and compensation records, 7 years. Personnel files, I-9s, 7 years. Personnel files, payroll records and summaries, including records related to employees' leave, 7 years. Personnel files, terminated employees, 7 years after termination. Retirement and compensation records, including summary plan descriptions, ERISA, permanently. Tax returns and worksheets, 7 years. Times sheets, 7 years. Trademark registrations and copyright brands, permanently. Workers' compensation documentation, 10 years after first closure. Whew. The end.
Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes, Artis. Let's get Artis a mic.
On the employment ones, I think all of those should say 7 years after, the employees, they're no longer there. The one says it, but the other ones just say 7 years.
Okay, I have Jeff and Jean, and they're co-chairing the personnel committee that met to come up with this policy. So, Jeff, if I could have you
Madam
speak to that.
President, as the board knows, Donna has really wanted, and others have really wanted, a document retention policy. Peter largely found one and brought it to the board, and they tasked us at the last convention with coming, the task our committee, whose I shall name in a moment, with coming back to you, but look at the policy, make any changes we felt, and come back to you. So the committee is composed as obviously of Gene as the other co-chair, along with myself, the president, of course, Mitch, Martin Jones, Kathy Skivers, and Peter, And I don't think I missed anybody.
No, you didn't. You got everybody this time. Yeah,
okay, this time I did. Okay. And we took a careful look at a lot of things. We even looked at some profit-making companies that have different policies and that do keep some personnel records longer. But we did feel that that given the time when tax records need to be kept and the time when suits could be filed for things, that 7 years was appropriate even for these types of records. So we actually did consider this. I'm not saying that you know, your idea isn't something that, you know, makes some sense, but we actually did consider longer periods for some of these personnel records.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from board members? Okay. As a member of the, shouldn't I?
Let him go.
All right. Peter says for me to go ahead and let Mitch speak. All right.
Well, I'm not entirely certain that Artis was only, or that Artis was just addressing some language, but as an example, in one of the procedures, or one of the documents, is employment applications for folks who were not employed, and we've got that as 1 year. Well, there was a good reason for that.
Well, no, that's fine. I didn't have a problem with that one.
In the other case, well, let me just finish. 1 year is fine because after 1 year you can't file a complaint of discrimination, a claim of discrimination. But the other records, the time that we keep them is based on other laws that govern when you can file a complaint, and some records don't need to be kept as long as others. So, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be uniform across the board.
Okay.
Madam President,
Jeff.
Just procedurally, on behalf of the committee, therefore, I recommend adoption of this as our document retention policy.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, Roger and Peter. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Roger and Peter. Okay. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is a report from the Publications Committee. And as some of you may know, Bernice Kandarian stepped down as chair of the Publications Committee due to personal circumstances and such. But she is chaired for, a number of years and been a member for, I believe, it has been 25 years of that committee. And Bernice has some, has left some large shoes to fill. Currently, the committee does not have a chair. But the committee has been, through the leadership of myself and Judy Wilkinson and Roger, still continued to do its work, going over the articles to nominate them for awards, from last year's Blind Californian, putting the BC together, excuse me, and, you know, continuing to do its work. As I stated, we do not have a chair at this time. We would definitely be looking for a chair. The folks that I've asked at this point have said that they would not be able to commit to do so. So that's why we don't have a chair. Our editor of the Blind Californian has graciously offered to chair the committee. However, I just don't think that it would be a good idea to have her stretch to do that as well as being editor of the Blind Californian. So it's my hope that I will be able to find a chair this year for that committee. So that's where we are on that aspect. What I did want to share with you is that CCB has not yet been billed for the winter 2012 BC. So we're still waiting on that. But I wanted to give you a few numbers. And let's see for the, okay, here we go. Okay, and I'm not going to give you the expenses because Peter gave you those. So for the winter BC, there were 480 copies that were made.
That was large print.
And that was large print.
Sorry.
Okay. We do not have a bill, again, for the Braille copies. And I'm looking, I just lost my number here. Okay, where did that go? Our Braille, why am I not finding that number? Okay. Finding a bunch of other things, but not that. Judy, I'm not sure. Okay, I'm finding a bunch of other things here. Okay, the Braille edition, here we go, is 160 copies. And we get that done at Braille Institute. I do want to share with you that I was very encouraged. Had a long conversation with the new coordinator at Braille Institute, and one of the things that she was very interested in is the possible reviving of allowing our members to go and help collate the BC. Our members really enjoyed doing that. They did that twice, and then it ended up stopping. So she was very receptive to that. And I thought that was very, very encouraging. She seems like a very pleasant person. The winter cassette tape edition, we had 274 copies of the cassettes for the winter BC. So those are our winter numbers. Let me see. And let me give you the numbers for our email lists as well. Yes, that's what I'm going to grab. Okay. Let me give you spring here really quick. Spring 2012 BC, large print, 465 copies. And the Braille, 165 copies.
What was large print again?
Cassette. Oh, okay. Our secretary's going, what was large print again? Large print was 465 copies. In the winter, it was 480. Okay. Braille was 165. And cassette tape was 276. Now, our BC email list is currently, we have 271 members on the BC list. On the California Connection list, we have 161 members. On our CCBL list, we have 91 members. On our president's list, we have 57 members. We also have several other listservs. And again, this is a service that can be offered, you know, from CCB. The only thing is I need to have two moderators. But we do now have chapter listservs on the ccbnet.org domain. San Gabriel Valley chapter has a listserv. East LA chapter has been given a listserv, and they have passwords, so they'll be getting started and up and running. Contra Costa chapter. Gabe said yay. They have a listserv. And we also have a Muttstrut listserv that we're getting up and running for the steering committee members. And we have a Blind Students of California. Well, no, I'm sorry. CCBS. CCB students. They have a listserv as well. So we're getting up and running a number of listservs, and I think that's a great thing. I'm very happy that chapters want to use that service. We would also be willing to extend that list to committees as well, if committees want to have listservs and such. The issue is, though, we need two moderators for each of those listservs. And membership has a listserv. I didn't write that down. Thank you, Roger. And the board of directors has a listserv. And artist chuckled. So.
Capital Chapter has a listserv.
I didn't forget you guys.
Capital Chapter has a listserv.
On the ccbnet.org domain. So I'm very pleased at everybody that's supporting spreading the brand of ccbnet.org. And I'd encourage you to contact us when you have two moderators and who'd be willing to do it. It's not very difficult at all. And Gabe, you know, is also on there, so, you know, he may be willing to provide assistance if anyone's interested in learning and hearing how easy it is to moderate the listserv. I just woke Gabe up. He said, wait a minute.
Gabe's trying to figure out what
how moderate do they have to be. So at this point, I would conclude the brief publications committee report and ask that the board accept the report.
Madam President.
Artis.
I just have one question. Is there... I'd like to see us in the Blind California and ask for people to subscribe to the email list and just decide to do that as their only publication to save us some costs.
Okay. I think that that would be a great idea. And I'm wondering if you would like to work with Judy so that an article could be written.
Sure, no problem.
That would be great. Okay.
Madam President.
Jeff.
I have a comment and a question. First, and they're related. I want to really compliment the president for biting the bullet and coming to the committee and the board and saying, look, we got to get this web development position funded to get things rolling so that we can do more. Because we're really, and I mean, I remember when I tried to get it and couldn't get it funded, and I'm really glad that the board voted that way because this is a money-making proposition to have a good website. So having said that, is it your intention in the next couple months to try and you know, put out a proposal or do whatever you're going to do to get reach out and get some great.
In fact, what I want to let you know, the technical operations group, we've added a new member, and you know, I think that it's going to be very good. We're not funding a web developer position. I definitely want to let you guys know that. What we're doing is we're funding so that we can get the content management system, you know, basically, you know, implemented in the web environment, because we definitely would not be able to afford to pay for, you know, for a webmaster. The technical operations group is going to stay in place so that, you know, once that environment is built, they will continue to provide assistance to populate it and put our archives up. I just wanted to let you know, in the past, you know, 6 months or so, several of our folks have had some pretty serious issues come across their table. And folks are back, you know, folks are back on board. And everyone has a new focus. When I share with them that, you know, the Finance and Budget Committee went ahead and approved and was going to bring forward a line item to see if we can get someone to, you know, build the environment with a new content management system, it kind of gave them new life. So they're very excited about that, too. And I'm hoping that we can get this done, or at least have someone on board that will do it. And I want to at least get the person on board within the next 6 months at the longest. I'd like to do it, actually, within the month. So that's definitely my goal.
Madam President?
Artis.
I had one more thing. Is it possible in the to get a donation link on our website so people can make donations online and then possibly in the future look for a membership ability to purchase memberships online, et cetera? Because I think if we have ability for people to pay for donations online, we're going to get a lot more versus right now they have to send in checks, et cetera.
That is something that the group has submitted to me to be on our next meeting agenda, the TOG. So that is definitely something we'll be talking about when we reconvene in May. So, yes, folks are thinking about that, and we definitely want to do that. Peter.
Yeah, I hate to as treasurer, I'd like to be part of that discussion.
Tell me why.
Well, because I think it's because I want to, we might be able to use some, I don't know, I just think I don't really want to be, I think it's a great idea, and I'd really just like to see what kind of ideas they come up with, and perhaps I can look around and see what we can come to with. Yeah, I know, of course.
Well, and of course, yeah, but so is Peter going to help build it?
I mean,
these are the technical folks, and that's, you know, obviously it's a public meeting. Anyone could come if they want to, but it's the technical folks, and they're going to talk about the technical issues with the security. Peter doesn't know how to build it, and neither do I. The only reason I'm there is because none of them want to chair the group.
Well, I mean, but it's true.
Gene.
I mean, it's
got
to be related to our accounting system.
Gene. Oh. Go ahead, Gene.
And Peter, I'm not trying to cut you off because I'm in full support. I know you're not trying to build it, but you are an accountant, and you're looking at the idea, the process for accounting, especially if it's credit cards and those things. So I'm not disagreeing with our Madam President either. It just I see the value of being part of it, and that's all.
What they're going to do is talk about the feasibility of putting a link on there. If you want to give them direction as to, you know, what, I mean, you're more than welcome to do it, but they're going to talk about the feasibility. You know, and as I said, if this board directs me to have Peter as a part of the technical meeting, then I'll do it. But honestly, I just don't see the need at this point because they're going to talk about a link.
Madam President.
Wait a minute,
Gabe.
I mean,
I guess to kind of try and clear this up a little bit of what Peter's asking versus what's going to happen at the meeting is, in this meeting, is there going to be any chance of a discussion of financial considerations in the background of any of the accounting processes or anything like that that might touch on what Peter's expertise are in? Or is it just going to be the feasibility of putting up a link? Because I think if it's going to touch on any of the accounting processes or anything that might have to happen in the background, then maybe Peter being there at least wouldn't be a bad idea. If it does start to get just on the technical stuff where he's not able to add stuff, then it's not necessarily any loss. But if any of the accounting questions come up that Peter can help with, then it sounds like it may streamline the process to at least have him there if needed.
There will be no accounting questions. It's strictly technical.
But I mean,
I'm answering Gabe's question. Calm down, please. There will be no accounting questions. There will be no discussion of money. It's strictly technical, Gabe, as you stated. If after this preliminary discussion happens and it would and they would look to touching on accounting processes and such, Peter, you'll be the first one I call.
Okay.
Yeah,
I assure you, I promise you that. This is strictly technical. I even start to fall asleep. So
thank you, Madam President.
You're welcome.
That's before we got into a long discussion, that's what I was trying to narrow down, and maybe a compromise would be that not this meeting, but Peter be available for any future meetings where
Correct.
He might be needed.
When we start to as it impacts accounting processes, Peter, of course, you'd be the first one that I invite. Okay. Any other questions regarding the publications report and the technical operations group? All those in favor of accepting the report?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, we didn't have a motion. I asked for a motion.
I was going to say.
I was trying to get it through. Artist made a motion to accept it.
Second.
And there were several seconds while Gabe laughs. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam President, the only reason I started laughing is because Robert over here pointed out that even though there is no motion, you called for the question, and we all said aye anyway.
I know you did. Okay. The next item on our agenda, they are trainable. The next item on the agenda is public comment. Do we have any public comment from anyone in the audience? We have one comment.
Warren Cushman. For the past couple of years, I have been coming to these board meetings, and I've been listening to the budget, and I keep getting the impression that things are not doing as well as I originally thought, and sitting here listening to tonight's discussion, I begin to get a little more worried. And so my thoughts are that perhaps it is time for some more difficult decisions that have to be looked at. I don't want to preempt any constitutional discussions, but I think that we may need to think about one convention a year, and there are other ideas, but I do think that things are getting tougher and that it might be time for tougher discussions.
Thank you, Warren.
I have one other hand.
Right, this is the item.
This is Terry Stoker again, and I ask for just a moment before you adjourn.
It's been a real pleasure watching the Charmin chair you people. And I forgot to mention that I was sitting up there several years in a row when I was a member of the board when the headquarters were over in Hayward and Kathy Schuyler was president. And we met about every 3 months, I believe, over there. And some of you are still here. Jeff, Tom, I remember, and some others of you. And I was fascinated the way your hands went down the braille there, faster than I could read with my regular big type. But anyway, in those days, which were good times, we still had a big problem balancing the budget. And it was always a big back and forth on what will we cut and where can we gain more. Yeah. But the transparency and democracy was really very evident in the board, and it still is, it appears. But anyway, times are much different now. My little church in Woodside is having a problem. We're having dip into a reserve fund several thousand dollars a month to pay the payroll. Yeah. So that's highly irregular. Yes. But anyway, so you folks are working real hard against tough odds, and I appreciate it. And since I've not been on the board, I've developed a little hobby of telling jokes. My central committee gives me the last 5 minutes every month. And my ski club, I'm president this year, not a skier anymore, but and I told him I will only accept the presidency if you'll let me tell a joke at the beginning of each meeting. But tonight I'd like to share a financial joke you may not have heard. It's a form of two questions, a question and an answer. Do you know the difference between your stockbroker and a pigeon? Answer.
No.
A pigeon can still make a deposit on a Lexus.
Yeah. And Mitch just said he'll tell his broker that one. Any other public comment?
I see no hands.
I love it. On that happy note, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion. We have adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you for a wonderful board meeting, everyone. Meeting adjourned.